For right now, why don't you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Take a look at verse 1. We'll read in verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly the three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran to unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be after with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. I would be too. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing Abraham shall surely become great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for just the morning we have here, certainly for this book, for putting these accounts of these men's lives and your interaction with them down on paper so that we can read them and learn and be instructed from them. I ask you, Father, just to minister to each and every individual that's here this morning. You're a great God, you're a mighty God, you're a holy God, and we need you to speak with us. Father, set me aside. I am certainly an unworthy vessel, but Father, your words, your principles, your precepts are good and right and just, and I pray that they might minister to the hearts of your people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see this interaction between Abraham and Sarah and, of course, the Lord and the two other angels. And it says in verse 33 at the end of the chapter, it says, "And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place." Today, obviously, is a communion Sunday, and I just titled this message simply Communion. Amen? Just, something that obviously is going to be on our minds as we're getting ready for communion. So I thought, what better time to just take a look at this thing we call communion. All right? What happened between Abraham and Sarah and the Lord and those two angels, the Lord referred to as communion. All right? One definition of communion is a close relationship with someone in which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. Makes sense? Communion, right? So I just wanted to take a look here this morning at a couple aspects of this thing we call communion, brethren. And they're nothing deep, nothing that you probably wouldn't already guess, but just something for us to be reminded of as Christians, because we're having communion. Amen? The first thing that I wanted to take a look at, the first aspect of this thing called communion, I want you to notice that communion deals with, folks, it deals with a group of people. One definition of the word communion is a group of persons having a common religious faith. What happened with Abraham and Sarah and the Lord and the two angels when they got together and they began talking, and they talked about several different things. They talked about Sarah having a child. They talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness of the city, and the Lord's on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham remembers Lot, his nephew, is in just outside of Sodom, and he's in Sodom, and he doesn't want Lot to die in the city when it's destroyed. So he starts bargaining back and forth with the Lord, and will you kill it? Certainly, Lord, you wouldn't kill the good people with the bad people, would you? Come on, that's not like you. Would you do it if there's 50 righteous? How about 40? And then he whittles him down finally to where he gets to 10 people. We know the story. And that's the conversation that they had from beginning to end. And the Lord calls that communion. So simply put, in verse 33, the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abram. Simply put, folks, one aspect of communion is fellowship and friends. All right? Fellowship and friends. Listen, it takes more than one person to commune. I mean, I know you can commune with yourself and your heart, right? According to Psalms, you can do that. But it takes a group of friends. When we talk about this thing called communion, I know that we're going to be celebrating and we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper and remembering the Lord, but it's called, right, we call it communion. Well, what is that? That has to do with fellowship, with friends. Those two people showed up with the Lord, those two angels showed up with the Lord, and they went and they met with Sarah and Abraham because, listen, they were friends. They were friends. It says in James 2, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I mean, why did the Lord show up to Abraham that day? Because he was his friend, right? And when friends get together like that, brethren, they should have communion. And that's what took place between the Lord and those angels and Abraham and Sarah. In 1 John, you read through 1 John, he talks over and over and over about fellowship. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Listen, today we're here in church and we're having communion. And sometimes, we get our mind focused and we get our mind thinking, oh, that is partaking of the bread and the wine and remembering the Lord's death till he comes. And yes, that's a part of it. But why were they doing that? Why were they having communion? You had a group of friends, you had those disciples, those apostles that were there in that upper room, and they sat down with the Lord because they were in communion one with another. They were friends. They were in the battle together, right? And I noted Judas was there, and yeah, I know Judas fell, but there was a group of people gathered together for a common purpose. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were friends. They were family. They were having fellowship one with another. Listen, when you look across, across the churches in the United States, one of the reasons why people fall out of church, one of the reasons why people leave church, there's a very common thread that runs through there, is because they have this feeling of being isolated and alone. Right? Is that a fair statement? People feel like, wow, I'm alone. I don't fit in anymore. Nobody likes me. I'm gonna take my toys and go home. And it's a real thing that people struggle with and people battle. And it's common. It happens in churches all across this country. People feel alone and isolated. Why is that? Because they're not having communion, the fellowship. One with another. Friends and fellowship. Listen, people begin to feel, they begin to feel isolated. Right? Listen, sometimes, folks, sometimes that barrier of just simple friendship is hard to overcome. Sometimes finding friends is a difficult thing to do. And that's why a lot of people, even in a Bible-believing church, where people are trying to walk right with the Lord and trying to live for the Lord and trying to keep their heart right and they're trying to do right, even in the midst of all that, and they're getting good preaching and there's plenty of opportunities for fellowship, but nonetheless, every now and then you have someone or you have people that even in that setting, because of different things going on in their life, they wind up feeling alone and isolated, and they don't fully embrace this thing called communion. They may come to a service where we partake of the bread and the grape juice. And they could technically walk away saying, yes, I had communion. But one aspect of communion, brethren, is fellowship. It's that conversation. It's sitting down. It's fellowship. It's friendship. Listen, in order to really have communion, right? There needs to be this interaction, one with another. You need to make friends. And like I said, there's a barrier to that quite often. I mean, a lot of times, listen, personality gets in the way. Well, me and brother so-and-so just don't mix. Well, okay, it doesn't mean he can't be your friend. All right? It doesn't mean you can't have communion with him. Sometimes a schedule doesn't mix. You work an odd schedule and you're always at work when everybody else is off, and you feel like you never have a chance to get together with anybody and just have fellowship. That's a problem. That's one of the things that happens in our busy life in America. And that thing goes on and you don't think about it. And you don't think about, a work schedule hindering communion. But nonetheless, that's the effect that it has. Right? You don't get a chance to make that friendship, that connection like Abraham did with the Lord. Abraham was called a friend of God. You begin to run across this barrier of fear. And that oftentimes in a congregation, just like this one, I mean, just your average, typical congregation, well, hopefully we're not average, in a normal congregation, sometimes people become afraid because they're introverted a little bit. And they don't necessarily want to step out, right? And they miss out on this thing we call communion. They miss out on communing one with another and having that relationship. Now, listen, honestly, it really doesn't matter why somebody winds up feeling alone and isolated. There are a lot of different reasons why that could happen. The end result is the same. They wind up feeling alone and isolated. Right? People feel alone. As you know, my wife and myself, I'm a karate guy, she's a karate gal, right? And you know, I'm in charge of several states and all the karate schools in those states, and you know, all the different people and all the black belts and all the students and all the different states, and you know, I'm in charge of all that. My wife helps me out, and we do a lot of work, and you know, in a worldly sense, I suppose you could say we're bigwigs, right? Right? We're bigwigs in the karate world. Now my wife and I have a great desire in that realm of our lives to be, you know, to be a friend and to be open and to be available and to be accessible to all those students. Why? Because we love them. They're our responsibility, right? Our desire is to see them grow, to see them learn, to see them progress, to see them achieve things they didn't think they could achieve. And that desire is true, is very genuine. And I've relayed that desire over and over and over again to people across, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and different states, all the different martial arts schools that we're in charge of, and relay that over and over again. But yet, even in that context, even in a worldly sense, in the karate school, what I find is there are a whole bunch of people, even seniors, quite frankly, we have a bunch of third-degree black belts that are getting ready for their fourth-degree black belt test. That's a big one in our organization. That's the difference between what we call a black belt level and a master level in the martial arts. And it's a huge test, and people wait 15, 20, 25 years to get to that point where they're ready to test for that level. And so it's a big thing. By the time they're getting close to that, you know, that achieving that level, they're very invested in the martial arts. They put a lot of work, a lot of sweat, they've bled a lot, there's been a lot of bruises, a lot of bumps along the way, right? And you would think when somebody is that close, you would think you'd have the mindset that I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. I've worked for 25 years to get to this test, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And one of the things that you know, my wife and I do is we make ourselves open to all those people, and I encourage them over and over and over and over and over. Listen, if you guys would like help, if there's anything I can do to help you to get from that third, because that's one of my biggest responsibilities, getting them from that third Dan to that fourth Dan, you know, rank, it's a big step. And I've told all those third degree black belts, listen, just call me. Come by. I'll work out with you. I got a dojang in my house. I got a place right at the house. We can work out at my house. I'll go to your house. I'll go to your school. I'll travel. I'll visit you. But guess what? Even with all of that, a lot of those folks, even though they're after something that's very important to them, they feel intimidated. And they don't reach out. They don't ask for help. And they become isolated. And eventually, if they stay that way long enough, they kind of fall off the radar. We just had a guy, you know, that I have been giving this invitation to for a number of years, to be quite frank with you. And he decided a few months ago that he was going to take me up on that offer. So he calls me up. Yeah, come on in. Great. We got everything set up. We got the house, the guest room all set up. We invited him to our house. He stayed with us for a couple nights. And you know what he said on the way up when he got here? He's former military, so we had that connection. And he's got, I mean, injuries galore from the military. Back, knees, you name it. You know, aircraft accidents. He was shot in the eye. Let's see, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of things going on. But he's a great guy, but he took that step. And he's on his way up, and he's struggling with all these physical ailments. And one of the things that he said when he got here is, you know, it really wasn't my goal to really, you know, do a super hard workout. Because my knees are shot, I got to go into the doctors, my back is shot. But he said, I just wanted to get to know you. And I thought, That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So what did we do? We went in and we went to the range and got our super soakers and spent some time on the range. Yeah? Our AK, not AKs, but AR super soakers. We went. We had a good time, and we're military, right? We enjoy that kind of stuff. So we went, and we did a little bit of shooting, and enjoyed it, and just got to know one another. We spent the weekend talking and history and life stories and different things going on. And Saturday morning, we got up, and you know, we put our doughbucks on, our karate uniform, and went out to the shop, and got a matted area out there to work out, and we began to work out, and we covered just a couple of basic things that made a huge impact on his martial arts journey. Just a couple little things that he had been struggling with and working on, and I'd been trying to kind of get across, but I never really had a chance to just sit down with him and go over the details and just, okay, you got it, but let me show you this. Now take it from there to here and just tweak it. Just make a few adjustments. It's hard to do that in yourself sometimes in the martial arts world. It helps to have an instructor that knows what to look for. So we got all that done, and he makes these great leaps and bounds after just a few hours of training, and he's going away with a big grin. And we worked on, you want to know honestly what we worked on? One technique. He say, "What on earth is that?" One technique? Really? He's going for fourth degree black belt, and you guys worked on one technique. Yeah, we worked on one technique. But you know what we did? We had communion. Right? And even though that offer has been out there for years, there was always something, and it's either hesitancy or distance. He's from Omaha, and so it's a long drive, and he drove 6 hours. 6 hours to come visit, to work on one technique. And you think in your mind, well, that's a waste of time. You could have done that via Zoom. Not really. Not really. Why? Because there was communion there. Listen, one aspect of communion is overcoming that barrier. I don't care if it's fear. I don't care if it's just a difference in interest, personality conflicts. You overcome that barrier and you put yourself out there. And you know what the Lord does in a church setting when you do that? The Lord helps you connect with somebody. And you begin to have that aspect of communion. You know he's coming back. We're all waiting for him to come back. Right? But you and I are supposed to be having communion until he comes back as well. Right? I know that I need to remember the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And that's what this is all about. But that aspect of communion, brethren, is for us. The Lord, out of all the people in the world, the Lord's going down to obliterate Sodom and Gomorrah. And he decides to stop in and talk to his friend. And he calls that communing with Abraham. Amen? You don't want to be isolated. You know what you want to do? You want to take that step, brethren. You want to take that step like this martial artist did and say, okay, I don't care what the barrier is. I don't care what's been holding me back. I don't care if I've been being held back for years. It's time for me to take that step and see if I can find some communion. And you learn some things. Abraham learned he was going to have a son. That was pretty big news to him. Sarah didn't believe it. But he learned some things. Abraham had a chance to talk with the Lord about his destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because he had an interest there, Lot. He didn't want Lot killed. And the Lord worked it out so that Lot made it out. But all of that came out of overcoming that barrier and making a friend. Amen? Having communion. This is This is what I want from us at Berean. I want us to have communion. Listen, Proverbs 18:24, you know the verse. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I just say this. I pray that none of you feel alone here at Berean. I hope that's not the case. Because really, we try to do everything that we can so that you don't feel that way. But it's a common problem. I don't care if it's church. I don't care if it's karate. I don't care if it's at work. It's a common problem just with people. There are going to be some that are a little more hesitant. And I would just encourage you, brethren, when we, you know, when we partake of communion, think about communion as being with one another also. And take that step. If you find yourself feeling isolated, you find yourself feeling alone, listen, recognize what's happening. Realize there's a whole bunch of people that are trying to be friends. And take that step and go out of your way and try to overcome that barrier. You may just get together for lunch and you may only talk about one little thing. But like with this martial artist, that one little thing was a key element that he needed to expand his whole martial arts achievement. And if you ever get to the place, brethren, where you're feeling alone and you find yourself in that situation, take that step. Go out of your way. In fact, if you don't find yourself in that place, you can initiate communion as well, right? I just challenge and ask all of you, while we're talking about communion, listen, every one of us needs to sit back and go, okay, who can I commune with? Listen, everybody here, take that step, call somebody up, invite them to lunch, invite them over for dinner. Make that a regular part of your repertoire, of the things that you do. It doesn't have to be every day or every week, but just make it a regular habit to get together with somebody else in the church and just sit down and talk. Play some games. Just, you know, whatever. Listen to music. Go out to lunch. Just take the time to go out of your way to establish the friendship so that you can have this aspect of communion. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the attitude that we want to have. Welcome. Please come in. It never ceases to amaze me how difficult that step is sometimes. But inevitably, folks, if you're feeling alone, I can promise you there are dozens and dozens of people in the church that would love to have your company. You just got to get over that first step. This martial artist came, he got over that first step. You know what? We had a great time. We had a great weekend. We talked about all kinds of crazy things, some martial arts, a lot of it not martial arts. We had fun together, and he got the benefit of learning some things that will help him in the martial arts along the way. And we established something now that is going to be habitual. You know what he said to me? He said, you know what amazed me is I called several different people and asked them if they wanted to go, and nobody else wanted to go. Busy, work, life, just things happen, right? But the ones that take that step, they find communion. They find that aspect of communion. Abraham had a friend in God, and they had communion. That's what I want you to have today. Amen? All right, another thing that you find, another aspect of communion is guidance. I will try to hurry because I notice the time right now. We need to save some time for it. But guidance, one definition of communion, or another definition of communion, is interchange of or sharing of thoughts. Interchange of or sharing of thoughts. In Exodus 25, the Lord said, And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Right? From between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all the things which I will give thee in the commandment unto the children of Israel. So one of the things that the Lord does is, you know, he told Moses, he said, listen, you get, make this mercy seat, you got the tabernacle. He goes, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to meet with you there, and I'm going to commune with you there. Well, what happened there? They got answers, right? They got answers. They got answers to decisions in life they were trying to make. They would try to, you know, they would try to make decisions, and what do? You go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to God in prayer, and you're looking for a place to find answers on decisions that you have to make in life. Well, that's part of communing. The Lord said, I'll meet you there in that tabernacle, and he gave them instructions, he gave them directions, which is the next slide. I better roll through it or we'll be here all afternoon. But the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in meeting with you like he did with the children of Israel. He's interested in meeting with you. Why? Because you need guidance. You need direction. You need, you got decisions in your life that you have to make. And the Lord has a desire to commune with you one-on-one and meet with you and give you those things. But the Lord was in the temple, right? And the children of Israel had to go to God to get that guidance, to get that direction, to get the help with those decisions. Listen, one aspect of communion, ladies and gentlemen, as you think about communion and remembering the Lord's death till he comes, think about being able to go to him in prayer day in, day out, with your concerns, with your cares, with your needs. It says in Exodus 31, he gave unto Moses, when he had made the end of communing with him, upon Mount Sinai, two tables of a testimony. You know what the Lord does when he communes with you? Listen, he gives you instructions. Amen? Moses communed with the Lord up on Mount Sinai, and the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And he called that communion. Right? A different aspect of communion. I mean, we commune one with another in fellowship and friendship, right? But listen, we go to the Lord and we commune with him on a regular basis. Why? Because we want direction for our life. We want instructions. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Lord, how am I supposed to handle this? Lord, help me get through this. And the Lord, listen, the Lord's gracious, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, and merciful, but the Lord will give you those instructions. He makes himself available to you. Why? Because he wants to commune with you. And a lot of times people, and I find myself being this way, as crazy as it sounds, sometimes you get almost afraid to go to God. What a terrible thing. Why is that? Because we're human. But you got to put that fear aside, you got to overcome that fear, and listen, you go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you commune with him. And brethren, he gives you direction. He helps you make decisions in life. God is a real God. He didn't leave us down here helpless. God still deals with the hearts of men. And no, you're not going to hear that audible voice, hey, take a left. Stop. Right? If you do, remember the minion? three out of the four voices in my head want to tell me to go to sleep. The other one wants to know if penguins have knees. You don't hear the voice that way. But the Lord will speak to your heart. He'll put that thing in there and he'll impress upon your heart the things that are right and the way to go. The Lord desires to have communion with you that way. Right? That's an aspect of communion. Again, I need to hurry. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death." Brethren, I count on that. How do you make it through 2020, the year of COVID, without the Lord's guidance? How do you make it through what our country's going through without the Lord's guidance? I count on that every day. Lord, how should I handle this? What should I do? How should we lead your people? What is the right approach? What's the right balance? And I need that communion with him. I need that feedback from him. I need that leading that to help me make decisions, to give me the right direction. I need that every day. And that's part of communing with the Lord. All right? John 16 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth." Brethren, I count on that. And you need to count on that. All right? Doesn't matter if you're a new Christian or an old geezer. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long, long, long time. You still need, just as much as a brand new Christian, you need that the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. Amen. And to lead you. Right? How do you get that? Well, communion with God. Communion with God's people. Right? You need that aspect of communion. I'm noting the time. I'm going to hurry. Finally, another aspect of communion, brethren, that I wanted to point out today. One of the definitions of communion is the act of sharing or holding in common. Communion, ladies and gentlemen, is a gift. Is a gift. Philippians 4 says this. Now ye Philippians know also that the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communed, see the root word, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Listen, part of the aspect of communion is that of giving. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ did what? He gave himself for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Listen, we should give ourselves for one another. In 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6, the Bible says, they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Willing to communicate. I'll tell you one aspect of communion that we ought not forget is that of giving of ourselves. Do this for just a moment. Take a look around the congregation and ask yourself this question. What have I gotten or received from anybody around here? Maybe it was a card, maybe it was a text, a phone call, a word of encouragement. Maybe someone came over to your house and helped you do something. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if I were to ask for a show of hands, again, keep them down. But mentally, how many of you could say, you know what, there's been somebody in this church that's helped me? Amen. I hope all of you. Amen? Amen? What is that? That's communing. That's giving. All right, so what do? You look around this congregation, you go, okay, what can I give them? Amen? I don't want to just receive. I want to give. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for the sins of the whole world. Amen? And following that pattern, I want to give. I want to commune. I want that aspect of communion. This whole thing kind of ties together. I want to be that person that sees in the congregation and gives of myself. And it doesn't have to cost you a thing. We're not talking necessarily even physical things sometimes. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's not. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's a conversation. Sometimes it's just, you know, we're getting ready to have fellowship. Sometimes it's sitting down with somebody you haven't sat down with in a while and just having a chat. What are you doing? You're giving of yourself. Right? Sometimes it's going over and helping with the furnace. Right, Brother Matt? Right? Sometimes it's replacing somebody's windows or counters or kitchen or plumbing. Or right? We got guys in here that do that all the time. And, you know, we love those guys. But it's giving of yourself. What is that? That is communion. You commune. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a great gift. It is a gift of giving and receiving. And I would just challenge you, and I'm going to be done here. I would just challenge you, think about this for a minute. What have you, relatively recently, given to somebody else? Have you gone out of your way to accomplish that aspect of communion? Right? It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's just fuller communion. Communion, yes, remembering the Lord's death until He comes. Absolutely. And that's what we're getting ready to do here in just a couple minutes. But communion is much broader than that. Amen? Communion is much broader than that. The Lord gave Himself for us. Communion, folks, is being part of a group. It's that fellowship, that friendship. It's going to the Lord and getting those directions, right? Getting help with those decisions that you need to make. It's that guidance that you and I need in our everyday life. Communion is giving and receiving. Sometimes you're on the receiving end. Somebody helps you. Sometimes you should be on the giving end. Help somebody else. And I'll say this. Folks here at this church are really, really good about those things. But we don't want to let them slip. Right? Like I said, I would just challenge you, and I'm done. I would just challenge you. Think about these aspects of communion. Michael, do you want to let them know that we're about done out there? Once you finish that up. Think about these aspects of communion and just ask yourself, where am I in each one of those areas? Should I reach out and be a friend? I would say yes. Should I seek the Lord, guidance, direction? Yes. Should I be the one that gives as well as receives? Yes. And ask the Lord, Lord, how can I commune better with your people here at Berean? Amen? How can I commune better? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for a Sunday morning. You're a great God, a holy God. And Father, you've given so much to us. You've blessed us beyond measure, certainly far more than we deserve. Lord, help us to remember these three simple aspects of communion. We're a group here, Father. We need to be friends, have fellowship with the group of people that you've put us in. We need your guidance, your direction, Father, as you instruct us. And Lord, help us to never forget the gift that you gave to us. Help us to be of the same mindset to be giving to one another. Let's pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.